Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And today I have a writer. You can always tell when a publisher likes a writer. They give them a really great book. And the name of this book is Alone Out Here by Riley Redgate. And I'm so happy to welcome Riley to the program. Hi, Riley.
Hi, Patsy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's very interesting. Publishers don't give you this kind of a fancy opening and a fancy first page is fancy. You know, they don't do this unless they really love you. So I was just wanted to compliment you on that.
Oh, thanks. It's been fun to work with the team for sure.
Well, they certainly saw something in this book and in you, and I think that you have to explain this situation in this book. Having gone through this pandemic-y time, I wasn't sure I was ready for a book with another big problem in the world. But since it's set to 50 years from now, is that 50 years? I thought, okay, well, I can handle it. It wasn't an immediate problem, so I could handle it. It is one of the things, of course, that always gets me when I start reading is if an author really paints a picture and really can take me into the book. And in this case, because it's a futuristic book, I really needed to get into the milieu. I needed to get into that feeling. And you did that in the first few pages. So that's why I continued reading and I said, whoa, this is interesting. And I was particularly interested, as I'm always interested in numbers, that the number 53 popped up in the book. I don't know. Is there a reason you use 53?
Yeah. So let me, I guess, go through the sort of premise of it to kind of contextualize, I guess. So it does take place in the year 2072, and there is a forthcoming apocalypse event brought about by a volcanic eruption, and that's on the horizon. And so the world's leaders and scientists and engineers have been trying to rally together to build a fleet of spaceships that can get a certain percentage of humankind off of the face of the Earth safely. But there are a group of teenagers who are touring the only completed ship in 2072, which is a prototype spaceship. And as they are having this tour, this volcanic eruption happens many months ahead of schedule. And so these kids who are touring the ship are the only ones to blast off safely and to escape the face of the Earth, and must kind of grapple with the knowledge that they are the last survivors of Earth and that it's up to them to carry humanity's legacy forward. So it is a little bit of a kind of Lord of the Flies in space vibe, where they're struggling to build a functional society. And yeah, the question is whether they'll be able to do that or whether they will inherit their parents on Earth, political and interpersonal mistakes. As to the number 53, that is the number of kids who wind up aboard this spaceship. It wasn't so much that particular number that was important for any reason. It's more of a range. So I wanted there to be enough kids aboard the ship for there to be a sensation of like a larger group who could be affected by groupthink and elements of maybe mob rule, like the idea of swaying public opinion one way or the other is an important kind of through line through the book in within or among the various characters who are kind of trying to grapple for power a little bit and control. So there needed to be enough characters for that to be realistic, where it wasn't just something that they could all sit down as a group and every single person would kind of get center stage a bit. At the same time, I didn't want the group to be so very large that we were kind of overwhelmed by a feeling of it being, you know, like hundreds of people, or, you know, we needed to kind of feel the value of every individual person and have it be kind of, because these ships are designed for 1,000 people to live aboard them. And so one kind of comparison that I was interested in drawing was the fact that there are only a small group of them and they constantly feel dwarfed by this large ship.
I wasn't sure if you selected 53 as a feminist nod to the great Sophie Germain, who was a mathematician. And the number 53 is the 18th prime number. Sophie, as a woman, really had to struggle to get into this world of mathematicians. they named this after her. It's called a Sophie Germain Prime.
Interesting.
So I thought, well, maybe you were maybe you were like a lover of math like I am. I do quadratic equations for fun.
I love that.
I got a kick out of that as a Sophie Germain.
It's not about the 18th prime, but I that's interesting. I'll have to look more into that later.
Yeah, well, people will remember if nobody ever uses 53. So all of us math nuts will remember it. It is a good number, and you do have a really diverse group of kids. And when we talk about Lord of the Flies, did they force you to read Lord of the Flies in school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Well, I didn't love it then. I really didn't. Of course, later on when I read it as an adult, I appreciated the great writing. But I must say that your writing is terrific. You have absolutely fantastic ability to create a scene and to tell a story.
So kind. So I've been working on this one for a while, so that's very gratifying to hear.
When you say that you've been working on it for a while, tell us a little bit about your background in how you got to this point.
Sure. So for this particular project, I started in a very early version of the project in 2014. And I wrote maybe 100 pages of it before deciding, like, oh, this is bad. And so then I set it on the shelf and came back to it a number of years later in, I think, 2017. And then I did a couple of kind of major rewrites with my literary agent. And then it was kind of the submission process. It was an interesting writing process because I would say it sort of took place in three or four discrete chunks spaced over the course of 6 or 7 years. And it's odd to kind of do that with a book because then you as a writer are sort of changing and evolving over those years. And then to sort of graft your current interests and your current style onto a previously existing project is a bit of a challenge, but also, you know, it's interesting. But yeah, that was this book in particular. It is my fourth published book. So I am coming at this book from a little bit more experience publishing wise than I had when I started the initial draft in 2014.
Well, tell us about the main character.
Yeah.
I found her intriguing.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, so Li Chen is the name of the main character. She is the first daughter of the United States. And she is a bit of a kind of frustrating, slippery character because she has spent her entire life growing up in sort of the media spotlight. She has learned that she can't trust anybody, that she needs to keep any and all opinions inside or not even form opinions in the first place because she has sort of seen the public reaction to any display of weakness or flaws from her mother. And so she's kind of like, you know, she has these kinds of anxieties about being perceived as wrong or about losing the trust of people around her. And as she is sort of thrust into a position of leadership on the ship, her lack of conviction becomes a serious issue because as certain other characters begin to remind her, it's very important for you to know what you stand for and to be able to define what you stand for and tell other people the kind of ethical and moral reasons behind your actions if you're going to be in a leadership position. And if other people are going to be doing what you ask them to do, then you need to be able to back that with the force of your own convictions. And at the beginning of the novel, she has no convictions at all by design. So the book is very much a journey of self-discovery for her and learning how to find what she thinks and learning how to gauge and to choose her own behaviors, regardless of what other people may think or desire.
Of course, we're talking about a spaceship in the future. Did you have to do a lot of research to be able to write about it? So really, in a way that made us really feel that there was such a thing.
Yeah, and I hope that has come through. I am not a niche genre specialist. I'm not a sci-fi kind of specialist. I write through all different kinds of genres. And so, you know, I was very sensitive to the fact that a lot of sci-fi writers have these scientific backgrounds. I don't. So I was definitely doing a lot of research. The NASA website obviously was invaluable, but, you know, lots of Googling, lots of searching different types of potential gravity systems and propulsion systems and even just like little details that, you know, I, in a very early draft, I had had the main character looking through the, quote, glass, unquote, of the spaceship's windows. And then, you know, over the course of my research, I realized that glass is not really a viable option for the future. And so what the glass is composed of is kind of translucent ceramic. And just so even down to kind of the smallest details like that, there was definitely a lot of trying to get every single detail right. Yeah, whether that comes through or not, I hope it does. But there were definitely many, 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 many hours put into it.
Yeah, well, I think it did. I don't know. Maybe they're out there trying to build one right now. You hear about all all these things happening. It could be. I don't know. Would you get on a spaceship like that?
Oh, would I? I don't know. Not permanently. I'm interested in space flight. I think it's an interesting thing. I think if it were a temporary situation, then I would.
Well, you know, send Elon Musk this book, and then maybe he'll invite you to be one of the people who go up on one of his spaceships here.
Sure.
You know, he gives it away sometimes, so you never know. You know, it just might fall right into his wheelhouse that he'll like a young person who's writing about outer space, and it could happen. You know, these things happen, and if not, maybe he'll just write you a letter, and you'll have, you know, you'll have a great souvenir. So yeah, I would, if I were you, I would send a letter to Elon Musk and send him the book and tell him, you know, I would just love to be able to say that I've been in space, and will you take me with you? All right.
Oh gosh, I am interested in commercial space flight. I think it's an interesting phenomenon.
Well, right there, you could be a spokesperson. Actually, he'll need young people to be spokespeople for him. So it might just work out just fine. If nothing else, you should go to one of the next launches and be there with your book.
And just kind of throw it to him from across the audience.
Well, you know, the thing is, with marketing of books today, you have to be innovative. You have to think out of the box. I mean, what are you doing now to promote this book?
So there was a coordinated, the release date was last Tuesday, so a week ago today. I was down in my hometown in North Carolina doing a series of school visits, which was really fun. One of them, or actually two of them, were high schools that I had attended when I was down there. You know, I'm on social media a little bit. Yeah, Instagram is my main active social media.
I'm giving you this marketing advice, and I can tell you, if anyone can pull it off, Hyperion can do this, because they love you. They don't take the time and the effort to create a book with insert. They don't do that for most people. That they've done this for you means they really like you. They have big hopes for this book. I would suggest contact them and say that you want to be at the next launch of a spaceship. Have them take you down there. I'm sure they will pay for it. They can afford it. They make a lot of money. And take you there. And that's where you should be. You should be there with your book.
I think I remember reading about a book that was set in space that was sent into space. Who was it? Was it Across the Universe? I think maybe. There's a book called Across the Universe that was quite well known. I think maybe there's a copy of that in space, which is fun.
Well, you have to come down to Florida to one of the launches and stand over there with your book. Get, you know, yourself photographed with some of the astronauts and with some of the people who are going up in space, because that's a way to get publicity nowadays.
I'm sure real astronauts would have all sorts of opinions about how the science is portrayed in this book.
Well, you never know. It might just be exactly the kind of book that they would enjoy. They have kids, and I'm sure they're wondering what in the heck would their kids do in case of an emergency in the future. Your writing is excellent. You're a very talented author. You have a way with words, and I just want to, you know, compliment you on that success. You just have to get out there more and get noticed and get somebody to pay attention to you. I was very happy to have you on the program today, because I think you've proven already to the world that you are a fine writer, and there's so much that you can do. It's been a real joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you.
Tell people where they can find you, your website, whatever.
My website is rileyredgate.com. My Instagram is @RileyRedgate. Yeah, Alone Out Here is available where most books are sold. If you want to get it through your local indie, they can have it on order.
It was a pleasure to talk to you. If you get yourself to Florida and you get a photograph with particularly Elon Musk, mention me and send it to me. I'll put it on my website, okay?
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Have a good one.
Oh, wow. 53. Bye-bye now. We'll be right back.